Chapter 1. In the Palace of the King. Daniel, Chapter 1, Verses 1 and 2. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of their house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to their house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Here we jump into the middle of an exciting time of national disaster. This was God's true people who have just been defeated in war, with captives carried off to Babylon. God had chosen them to be his special treasure on earth, to let their light shine so that all nations might learn the glorious news of his salvation for all people. But now comes this tragedy. What a pity! Those people of the one true God should never have been conquered and carried as captives to Babylon. What fun these heathen soldiers must have had, laughing and mocking the religion of God's people. Although Jerusalem tried to defend herself, her cause was hopeless, for the Lord himself gave King Jehoiakim and his people into Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. But those people didn't want the Lord to keep their city. They would trust their military might. Repeated warnings by prophets sent of God to his people predicted this. Moses himself had said that if they should turn their backs on the commandments of God, they would be carried captive into heathen lands. Jeremiah, a later prophet, reminded Judah that if they had been faithful to God and kept the Sabbath day holy, Jerusalem would have stood impregnable forever as a glorious city. Elijah in King Jeroboam's day repeated the prophetic warning, as did Amos the prophet. Isaiah made it clear 120 years before it happened that Jerusalem would be taken by the Babylonians. These were the very people to whom the foolish King Hezekiah had proudly displayed his royal treasures. Because God's people would not heed the warnings of his prophets, he could do nothing else than back off and give them up to the destruction that pagan nations would wreak upon them. Parents must consider that it was because of the wickedness of King Manasseh, Hezekiah's improperly trained and unconverted son, that all this evil befell Judah. Manasseh led the whole nation so deeply into idolatry and paganism that they never were able to recover until after 70 years of exile in Babylon. Children become a blessing or curse to the world according as their parents train them. Daniel, Chapter 1, Verses 3-5, And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof, they might stand before the king. Nebuchadnezzar's plan was to enrich the government of Babylon with the talents of these young men, as well as convert them gradually to the heathen religion of the Chaldeans. He was sure his pagan religion was the true one, for had not his gods defeated the great God of Israel? These boys were likely in their late teens at this time, for they had already attained wisdom and skill in knowledge and understanding. Consider them the computer gurus of that day. Daniel, Chapter 1, Verses 6 and 7. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, of Shadrach, and to Mishael, of Meshach, and to Azariah, of Abednego. The Hebrew name Daniel signified judge of God. Hananiah, gift of the Lord. Mishael, who is what God is. And Azariah, whom Jehovah helps. The Chaldean names given them honored various heathen deities. The Chaldeans hoped to cause these Jewish youth to forget their early training in the love and service of Jehovah, and to learn to worship the pagan idols. Thank God that in the midst of the wickedness and apostasy in Judah and Jerusalem, there were a few homes where reverence for God was preserved. Though we do not know her name, Daniel's mother deserves great honor. Her boy, now far from home in the midst of a wicked and degraded court life, remained true to the right teachings of his mother. His courageous and firm stand for truth put heart into his three companions to be faithful also. Our world needs more parents like Daniel's mother. And thank God, today he has some out there like her. Daniel, chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs, that he might not defile himself. Daniel recognized what the Apostle Paul many years later taught, that the human body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He knew that to defile it with improper food or drink is a sin against ourselves and against our Creator. His strength of character was the result of a decided purpose of heart. He knew how to say no to temptation so definitely that the tempter had to flee from him. Daniel's remarkable clearness of mind and strength of body were the result of faithful adherence to right ways of eating and drinking. We too can enjoy the same blessings as we rule our appetites and passions instead of letting them rule us. Daniel, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. This little detail gives us a glimpse into the social context. There were others of the children of Judah in the same group who obviously did not adhere to the principles of temperance, which were taught the people of God. They may even have ridiculed and persecuted Daniel because of his desire to be faithful, even in a foreign land. Even today, the most bitter persecution a Christian can take is often from his own brothers and sisters, supposed to share Christian fellowship with him. Ridicule is a lethal weapon of persecution. Daniel, chapter 1, verses 11 to 16. Then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat, and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzer took away the portion of their meat, and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. The Hebrew word here translated pulse is the same as seed in. This seed was the Creator's original plan for man's food. I have given you every herb-bearing seed, and every tree, in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, food. Daniel's diet thus included more than just one monotonous thing. It was also fruits, grains, nuts, and vegetables, and the wonderful drink which God has given us for our health, pure water, and unfermented fruit juices. These boys really had a continual picnic. As Daniel expected, after 10 days of this simple but nourishing diet, his health was excellent, and that of his companions also. They were able to study easily. It is just as true today that healthful diet and physical habits are an aid to mental and moral strength. Students in school don't have to follow the crowd. They can enjoy standing out different and follow the youthful Daniel's example. Daniel, chapter 1, verses 17 to 21. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. The character of Daniel is cited by the prophet Ezekiel as an example of the character that those who serve God in the last days of the world's history will have. Great events will be taking place in heaven and earth, which they must know how to understand if they are to be in tune with what God is doing in the earth. For this reason, his people today will live healthfully and temperately, as Daniel did in the king's palace. The indulgence of appetite was the first great sin of the human race. The grace of Christ is much more abounding than all the allurement of our sinful nature which we have inherited by birth from the fallen Adam. Jesus was tempted more than we can be tempted when he fasted for 40 days. His overcoming grace is given freely to all. Now, let's receive the gift. Says our friend and brother the Apostle Paul, I follow after, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's impossible to estimate the enormous suffering there is in the world, due directly to unrestrained appetite. Everywhere you turn you see obesity, heart disease, lung cancer from smoking, cirrhosis of the liver from drinking, alcoholism. Well, the plagues are endless. Jesus is already the Savior of the world, but he is helpless to save people who resist and reject his salvation that he gives them. We could weary you with endless statistics of suffering and premature death, so much of it unnecessary. And Jesus Christ is forced to have to watch it all, to see the needless tears, to sympathize with the needless pain, to share the often needless funeral grief. Says Isaiah, in all their affliction he was afflicted. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, because he has become one of us. He has taken upon himself our fallen, sinful nature, as a member of our humanity. It's time for us to learn to sympathize with him in his sufferings that he feels for humanity. Here's a passage that speaks of all the unnecessary sin there is in the world, but it can apply also to the unnecessary sickness and suffering. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Saith the Lord God. And not that he should return from his ways, and live. You can hear the overtones of the wailing of God. He loves these people who are killing themselves. Why will ye die, O house of Israel? Look at the reward for temperance and self-control that we see in Daniel's book. He and his companions far excelled all the other students at the end of their 3 years university training. Are you interested in further education? Here is something for you to notice. God was preparing these youths to be witnesses for him, for through them, he would give knowledge of the gospel to all the world of their day. It would be fantastic, hang on, The story comes later in our book. Where are the youth of today, who will follow the example of Daniel and his three companions, that God may fit them to be a blessing to the world? Can we find the gospel in Daniel? Or is it all about beasts and world empires? This first chapter packs a powerful gospel punch. Here are four young men in university training, where their scholarships provide them access to the elitist dining rooms or cafeterias in the empire's capital. They will be served the same gourmet bill of fare from the same kitchens that cater to royalty. The delicacies on their table are the envy of wealthy Babylonians. The meats come from the fabled outreaches of the empire, the desserts are super mouthwatering. But good news saved them from health disaster and muddled minds in a time of crisis. These four petition the authorities for a simple, low-fat, low-sugar vegetarian diet. With the hearty appetite that all teens have, these four purpose in their hearts to deny natural cravings for rich food and to choose the simple diet. They will not patronize the McDonald's, Burger King's, pancake houses, or steak houses of their day. Their goal is not merely to live 7 years longer and keep going to their Disney World. They want to keep their minds clear to comprehend the teaching of the Holy Spirit, in an era of solemn significance. We're in that kind of era today, on a world scale. It's great good news that the same world Savior who blessed Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will give, not merely offer you and me, the victory over runaway appetite. The Holy Spirit will be your day-by-day teacher. You won't be able to transgress without His first convicting and reminding you of truth. Now don't silence His voice, don't deny His loving reminders of sacred duty. Purpose in your heart to follow the Savior in this His great day of atonement.